This morning and join the choir in song as we sing number 628, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene. 628, let's sing it together now. Glad you're saved?
Amen.
Amen. We're glad that you're here this morning. We're going to have a great day in the house of God. Great afternoon at our picnic. I hope that you're able to make it. 5 o'clock for dinner, 6 o'clock for our evening service. During our evening service, we're going to have a full half-hour concert, and I hope that you're able to come. If you've enjoyed the Clark music, I know that you'll be here. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Ask His blessing on our service. Brother Bousfield, would you lead us in prayer this morning, please?
Amen. You may be seated.
We're going to invite the Clark family to the platform at this time. I've asked Brother Clark to introduce his family to us. We're so thankful they're here. Let's welcome them to Canada this morning.
All right, good morning. It's good to see you all. Pastor said, introduce your family and don't forget your wife. So he helped me out there. Kind of us guys help each other with our anniversaries and all that stuff that we don't want to forget. My way will start with my wife, Carla. I've been blessed to be married for 20 years, and I'm thanking God for that. But appreciate my wife. And this is my niece, Vanessa, on the end, and my daughter, Kayla. You have to smile, Vanessa. There you go. Show your teeth. There you go. Wonderful. And then she's the bashful one, so we'll embarrass her. Then my daughter, Kayla, and this is Mike, and then Travis, and then Melinda. What do we need to do, brother? Anything? We monitors too. We're all right. We're just working through it. It's all good. When you turn, so turn everybody's mic down a little bit, maybe. We're working this out. We did do a sound check yesterday, but we're ringing a little bit, so maybe go down a little bit. She said when she turned on the ring, that's not what we're doing. And we're starting sound checks. Get them down a little bit. Good? All right. Or down in the monitors, maybe that would be it. But thank the Lord. We'll get it set. So, and we're going to sing a song for you this morning. He came to me. Thank God that he came. Did I introduce everybody? I get Melinda on the end. Trav, did I get you too? And I'm Mike. So I'm the youngest. My dad's a pastor in New Jersey. And we come from the Solid Rock Baptist Church in Berlin, New Jersey. If you're ever in the Philadelphia, New York area, look us up. You've got friends in the USA, in New Jersey. We'll take care of you. We've enjoyed ourselves here. So thank God that he came to me.
How could the God of heaven love a helpless soul like mine? Why would the great I Am send his only son to die? The price he paid for my sin was much too high a cost. But Jesus came and found me and loved me to the cross. He came to me. Now my blinded eyes can see. He forgave and set this prisoner free. He died and he rose, and that's all I need to know. When my sin was all I could see, he came to me. Why would he want to come down, leaving heaven's throne? The earth and all within it could have made his glory known. Yet he saw a worthless sinner and redeemed me through his love. I don't have to know the answer, for I'm covered by the blood. He came to me, and now my blinded eyes can see, and he forgave and set this prisoner free. He died and he rose, and that's all I need to know. When my sin was all I could see, he came to me. I was lost, but now I'm found, since the Savior came down and changed my everything. What a joy I've been given. It's a new life I'm living as a child of the King. He came to me, and now my blinded eyes can see, and he forgave and set this prisoner free. That's all I need to know. When my sin was all I could see, he forgave and set this prisoner free.
Jesus came down and found me. He came to me.
Thank the Lord, he came to us. And where would we be had he not come? Amen. We'd be all men most miserable, and I thank God for that. This is a song. Belinda, why don't you come over on this side? And this song we sang the other night, it's called That's the Truth. It's a song about the Bible. It tells the story of a young lady who's witnessing her dad on a regular basis reading a book. And obviously the book is the Bible. She says, you read it all the time, but you're never through. And that's the way it needs to be with the Word of God. We'll never get bigger than that. What are you preaching about? What are you talking about? What do you emphasize? We'll never get past our need to be in the Word of God. And it is the book that we can build our life on, stake our eternity on. We know it's the book. It's the Word of God. It's the truth. And I thank God for his book, the Word of God, the truth.
That book there on the table, you read it all the time, but you're never through. He said, child, that's a roadmap for living, the way that God can talk to me and you.
That's the truth you can depend on, the truth that'll never lead you wrong, the Word of God that'll never pass away. That's the truth you can believe in, the truth that'll save you from your sin,
from the eldest to the youth.
That's the truth.
She prayed in every promise and made it hers. Through the years I never saw her crumble. Her life was firmly planted in the Word.
That's the truth you can depend on, the truth that'll never lead you wrong, the Word of God that'll never pass away. That's the truth you can believe in, the truth that'll save you from your sin,
from the eldest to the youth.
That's the truth. Through the ages men have tried to change it and water down its message with their lies, but the truth is marching stronger now than ever. It'll rise above the flames when the world's on fire.
That's the truth you can depend on, the truth that'll never lead you wrong, the Word of God that'll never pass away.
That's the truth you can believe in, the truth that'll save you from your sin,
from the eldest to the youth.
That's the truth.
For the eldest to the youth, that's the truth. That's the truth.
choir. Let's take our hymn books again, please. Let's stand as we sing number 627, Oh How I Love Jesus. 627, let's stand and sing it together this morning. There is a name I love to hear. Amen. Sing it out now.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Amen. Let's welcome each other here this morning. Together and tells me what my Father hath in store for every day.
It tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. That though I tread a dark so dark, He'll sunshine all the way. Oh, God of Jesus. Oh, God of Jesus. Oh, God of Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Good singing this morning. Pastor McDonald's going to come and open our service.
Good morning. Good to see everybody here. We have a great service planned for you this morning. You've already heard a lot of the good singing there from the Clark family. We're looking forward to a good time today afterwards as well with the chicken on the grounds. Verse from Psalm 21, verse 7. And listen to this one. It says, "For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved." We need to be praying for our leaders, our political leaders, that they will turn their hearts to the Lord, that our country will not be moved, because there's a lot of sifting sand going out there. So it's good to hear some good preaching this past week and good singing. Birthdays, I just got one birthday that was last week that I forgot to mention, and that is Michael Hatch turned 60 last week, and I didn't announce it. He's only like one of my better friends, you know, like you're all my friends, but you know, and 60. I got to start getting new friends that are younger, that's all. But be sure to congratulate him. Also, some urgent prayer requests. Just be in prayer, really, for those who've lost some dear loved ones last week. Pray for Bonnie Lloyd and her family, of course, and the passing of her mother, Margaret Elfner, and also for Shelley LeGros at the passing of her husband, Pastor Gord LeGros. I went to the funeral yesterday. It was well attended. And I'll tell you something, it's good, both of those funerals, it's so good to be at a funeral of a born-again Christian. And I was just blessed at that time. So at this time, we'll go to, yes, Pastor? Oh, that's right, Muriel Atkinson, be in prayer for her, lost a sister this past week as well. So let's not forget these people who are grieving at this time. Brother John, if you'd pray for this morning's offering.
Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you that we can come and gather in your house. We thank you for the good times we've had this week. Pray that you'll continue to be with us. Pray for the preaching and the singing. Pray for this offering, Lord, that we can look after the work here at home and support our missionaries around the world. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you as you give. Thank you.
was awesome. Praise the Lord for that. How many of you wish you could play an instrument? Yeah, me too. How many of you started and quit your lessons? A couple of us. I told you before, but I want to be like that magical guy. Grab a guitar and sit down and just play. No practice. You talk about harp, you know, just doesn't work that way, does it? So appreciate that special. The Lord is good. Again, it's great to be here. This song that we're about to sing was written by a friend of ours, Micah Henson. And Micah went to be with the Lord when he was just 30 years old. But he had gotten cancer, and he was a songwriter. And sometimes trouble comes your way. How many of you have someone and there's a health need, a physical need, either in your life or someone that's dear and near to your heart, someone that you're praying for with some health situations? Yeah. And when that happens, you know, it's, it feels like your whole world is rocked. And Micah sat down and penned this song and basically said, no matter what happens, I know that I'm trusting in the one who never changes, the one who's solid, the one who's strong. And I may lose my life, but I'm going to be with him in heaven. And sometimes life takes you that way, but thank God we're built upon that rock.
That is not his fault, all right? That is my fault. And then I know Brother Judge likes to get things right, and it's our monitor ringing this morning. So when you irritate a perfectionist, you don't feel real good about that. You know, we met yesterday. He's like, let's meet. Let's make sure it's all right. And he did, and the USA people blew it. So whatever, you know. But we're going to have Trav sing a song. And this is a song, man, I thank God for it. And Trav, maybe put that music stand down so a few people can see you. Pastor already said you look
really, really young, even though you're 13. So I don't know how much he appreciated that. You might have lost a friend on that one, preacher, but no, it'll be all right. But this is a song that he did sing throughout the week and sang one time this week. But it's a song called I Want to Be That Man. And I mentioned to the dads and adults that are here, moms as well, you know, we're supposed to be setting patterns for our children, for those that come behind. Whether or not you have biological children here in the church, as adults, we are examples for the younger generation. And God knows we need some young children that have a heart for God and are going to pick up the mantle and live for God. We're not going to be here forever, us older people. You know, what's going to happen here in Simcoe? What's going to happen to our children, to our grandchildren? And we've got some of the younger ones in here and church kids, bus children, all of that. I hope it's everyone's heart to be a man of God, to be a woman of God, regardless of the madness that goes on out there in the world. And, you know, it doesn't happen by accident. If you're going to be a man of God, if you're going to be a woman of God, if you're going to be what God wants you to be, you've got to separate and be holy. And you've got to set time aside to walk with Him and to read the book and to pray. And so I'm convicted when I hear Travis sing this song because I want to be that example. And then I'm also encouraged because, and he picked this song out, I know that he, as well as many of the other young children here, want to live their life for God and want to be children that grow up to be men and women of God and lead their families following the Word of God, sharing the gospel with this lost world, doing God's will for their life. So I want to be that man.
He was awake before the sun, with his Bible opened up, seeking truth with every single page he turned. Anyone can see, my daddy lives what he believes, with a gentle heart, a passion for Jesus. Thank you.
pulpit back in place for our preaching time. We're going to dismiss our children as we sing this next hymn. They can go to junior church. I'll ask our junior church workers if they would stand first. Everybody look around. Get your junior church workers, all right? Young people, I want you to walk very quietly. Remember, we're in the house of God, and we want to honor the Lord with our behavior. So as we sing that first verse, you can stand and you can walk very quietly over to your junior church workers, and they will take you to your junior church time. Let's stand this morning and sing together 636. 636, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. 636. Again, we are so thankful for the Clark family. I've enjoyed so much the singing.
I'm really looking forward to the preaching of the Word of God. That's what it's all about.
Amen. We're gathered here together. I want you to know that I checked into these folks before they came. I'm maybe like you a little bit. I am have a very difficult time listening to a preacher that I don't know. And so I called John McConkie, and John is a good friend of Brother Mike's, and he gave them a good review and recommended them highly. But I want you to know that since I've met them, that their lives are exactly what you see. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. They love to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's such a blessing that they're real people, and we enjoy that so much, and we've had great fellowship. Before he comes to preach, let me mention a couple things very quickly. Continue to pray for Pauline Spencer. She's been struggling with her health, and she needs us to lift her up in prayer. Vernus Bartlett as well has not been very good, and he needs our support in prayer as well. Both these folks are older in age, but the Lord could still use them, and there may be some time there, and so let's pray for them and uphold them before the throne of grace. I know that they would appreciate that so much. Let's have Brother Mike, let's have our Bibles ready as Brother Mike comes to preach us this morning from the Word of God.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. Appreciate that. It's good to be here. Boy, this pulpit I can hide behind here. I'm a little guy, man. You'll never see me. I saw that. That's awesome. Matthew chapter 22 in your Bibles. It is good to be here, and it is an honor. Anytime you have the opportunity to preach in someone's church, it's an honor, and obviously it's God's church. And I count it a privilege, I really do, and it's a Sunday morning, and I understand that, and pastors allowed us that privilege, so we're thankful for that. Thank you for being kind to my family. We've really enjoyed our time here, and I'm not just saying that. Your pastor has gone out of his way to be a friend to our family this week, and I'm grateful for it. That's a great experience for my children, and they see the love of Christ in this church and in this place, so we're thankful very much for that, and we're looking forward to this morning and what God has for us. Matthew chapter 22 in the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Again, Lord, we ask you to bless this time. Thank you that we could gather and meet freely
in your house today. I pray that you would do a work in all of our hearts, Lord. I know I'm the one preaching the word this morning, but God, it's your word that penetrates and impacts our heart, and I pray that you'd impact my heart this morning through the word of God. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that today would be the day that they would trust you as Savior. Lord, know that you're living in their heart. Heaven is their home. God, that would be a wonderful day, the greatest day of their life. Lord, those of us that have been born again, I pray that we would grow. And when we leave today, we would be able to say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Bless now your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have commandments in the word of God. And we usually think of the commandments and we think of the book of Exodus. And that's where we would get the Ten Commandments and the things that we're supposed to do or not supposed to do. And thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not bear false witness. And we have commandments in the Word of God. But in the New Testament here, we have a commandment also. And we're in the book of Matthew and chapter number 22. Look, if you would, in verse 34. We'll begin reading. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. You remember the Sadducees and Pharisees were the religious crowd of that day, and they weren't real fond of Jesus. And so here they're trying to trap Jesus. Then one of them, 35 of chapter 22, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." In the word of God here, we see a command to love. And frankly, this is a pretty easy command. They said to him, "Jesus, what is the greatest?" Now, I want you to think about this. What is the, not just a commandment. They said, "Jesus, what is the greatest? What is most important? What is paramount? What do we need to make sure we are doing, Jesus?" And he said, "Love God." And then he said, "There's a second like unto it, love your neighbor." You think about that. Of Jesus Christ, him saying, "Jesus, what is the greatest commandment?" And he said, "It centers around love. Centers around love. Loving God and loving your neighbor." And in the Bible, we are commanded to love. In Luke chapter 6, we find one that's not so easy. I hope it's easy for you and right for you to say, "Boy, we ought to love God. God's perfect. God does no wrong." It's easy to love perfect people. And, God is the only one who's perfect. And then it says this, "Love your neighbor." I hope you've got good neighbors. I hope they think you're a good neighbor, and I hope you think they're a good. I said, man, love our neighbors. That makes sense. Love God, love your neighbors. But in Luke 6, verse 27 and verse 35, we're commanded to love our enemies. Love our enemies. All right, I like loving God. I like loving my neighbor. That makes it. But love our enemies? Really? And Jesus says, "Oh, yeah, love your enemies." Ephesians chapter 5, this is one that I hope is natural for us men. We're told to love our wife. If you're married, guess what? You're supposed to love your wife. And then in Titus, ladies, chapter 2, verse 4, you're told to love your husband and your children. There's much said in the Word of God about the word love and about this theme of love. And they said to Jesus, "What's the greatest commandment?" And he said, "Love God and love your neighbor." And love is very, 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 can't underestimate it, important in God's economy. Look, if you would, John chapter 13. Turn here in your Bible, if you would, please. John chapter 13. Thanks for turning. Thanks for having your Bible. If you're new and you're not familiar and don't know where to turn, just listen. But if you can, turn in the Bible. It's a privilege to do that. John chapter 13. Notice this. Jesus is getting ready to die. He says this, verse 33, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you," and where he was going to go, he was going to go to the cross. He's going to go to the grave. He was going to ascend to the Father. Basically, he's saying, I'm going to be leaving. You can't come where I'm going. But when I leave, A new commandment I give unto you. This is my thoughts as I'm leaving you behind. That ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. And then this verse, such a powerful verse, 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Love God. Love your neighbor. By the way, love your enemies. Husbands, love your wife. Wife, love your husband. Love your children. And then Jesus said, I'm leaving, disciples, and I hope you consider yourself a follower of Christ. He said, when I leave, you can't come with me. I'm leaving you behind. But I want you to think about something, and I want you to know a truth. When people see your love, that is what is going to tell them that you are truly a follower of me. Didn't say when you walk around with scrolls under your arm. Today for us it would be the word of God. That they'll know you're a disciple of me. Didn't say when you put on your Sunday church clothes. And they're looking out their window and they notice you getting in the car. And going to the church house. That they'll know you're a follower of me. It didn't say when you walk up to them and hand them a piece of literature about God. That they'll know you're a follower of me. And I am for all of those things. But Jesus Christ himself said, when they see your love, by your love, this world will know that you are a follower of me. God is love. Let me ask you this. Do people see God in you? In order for people to see love in your life, in order for people to know there is love in your life, listen, that love has got to be expressed. You see, man looks on the outward. God looks on the heart. Often the sign of love will be a heart. And we think love's what's on the inside. Yes, but the love that Jesus Christ wants us to have as Christians is a love that will work itself to the outside and be expressed. The age-old joke about the couple who went to the pastor for marital counseling. They were having a difficult time. And the wife said to the pastor, one thing that I really struggle with is that my husband never tells me that he loves me. And the husband casually said, sweetheart, I've told you many times. When we got married, I said that I loved you. And I would let you know if that ever changed. And she was not real fond of the way he was expressing his love. He was saying, oh, it's just inside, but there's no need for me to say it, to express it. You know, I don't know about what they consider the Canadians, but we live in the northeast part of the United States of America, and we have a reputation for not being warm and fuzzy, not being very loving, not expressing very much love. I was just in North Carolina with Brother Fry at his church. We hear of Southern hospitality. I've heard that word before, and everybody speaks to each other. In the North, that's not the way it is. You go to the grocery store in New Jersey, no one speaks to you. It's rare that they make eye contact with you. Again, I'm not Canadian. I don't know what it's like around here. But at home, that's not the way it is. We were in North Carolina last weekend. And we were walking down the street with some quaint little shops in this village. And we're there. And I'm standing there waiting for the girls to come out of a shop. And this little girl walks by and she says, hello. And I thought, well, that's strange. That doesn't happen at home. I said, hi, how are you? And then she said, I like your shirt. And I'm like, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Have a good day. And she walks away. She's with her. She thought, I'm like, whoa, we are not in New Jersey right now. We were, and I'm thinking, they do not do this at home. But I was just taken back by that. You see, where we come from, it's not a very loving environment. And here it is. Oh, people may say, well, I love you down. It's not expressed very much where we come from. There is a church in the Bible that Paul bragged on. Look, if you would, the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians. Let's look at this church here. And by the way, let me say, I am all for doctrine. I am all for standards. I am all for holy living. I am all for having the right Bible. I am all for witnessing. I am all for doing all these things. But I think we'd be wise to make a big deal about what Jesus Christ made a big deal about. And when they said to him, what's the greatest commandment? And he says, love. When he says, God is love, that's pretty important. There was a church here at Thessalonica. Notice, if you would, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 9. Paul is bragging on this church. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9. But as touching brotherly love, this is what Paul said to him. You need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. He's like, I really don't have to talk about it because God has already told you that you're supposed to love one another. But then notice what he says. And indeed, verse 10, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Paul said to this church, he said, you know what? I really don't have to teach you this lesson because God teaches you. And really, you're loving all the brethren that are in Macedonia. But let me just encourage you. You're good at loving, but why don't you increase that more and more? I know you just had a campaign about love and reaching out into the community. And that's an awesome thing. Look what Paul says. Turn just a couple pages. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Again, this church at Thessalonica. Watch the praise that he gives them concerning their love. I wonder if my church back home, Solid Rock, or if this church here would be able to have this same testimony. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse 2 and 3. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. That's awesome. And watch this. And the charity. Oh, you know that word charity, 1 Corinthians 13. Charity is an expressed love. It's a love in action, we say. It's a love that does something. It's a love that speaks and acts and moves. He says this, watch this. The charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Wow. You know what he said to this church? When it comes to loving people, showing your love, charity, boy, you got, he used this word, aboundeth. You guys are doing a phenomenal job with that. And I'm not preaching this message because we came from New Jersey and feel like you didn't love us this week. Not at all. This is a message that I need. You guys have been wonderful to us, and I mean that. But like Paul said to this church, we can do even better. And the more we're loving, the more we're like Christ. And the more we're like Christ and the more we're loving, the more this world is going to see this and know that we are followers of Christ. You know what? Whether or not we love one another is a test as to whether or not you even know God. What do you think about this? And some of us will be sitting here saying, oh, it's just not my personality to be expressive. But Jesus said that's what we need to do. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. That's not just, I said I loved you when we got married, and if it ever changed, I'll let you know. No, 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 that's a love in action. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. Everyone that loveth God is born. Everyone that, how's the verse go? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. For everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. There we go. Thank you. My wife, my helpmeet, help me out on the first verse, right? And then it says this, watch. He that loveth not, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Hey, and God says this, if you don't love, you don't even know God. For God is love. Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Love. Disciples, I'm leaving. Followers of Christ, we're left behind. We're not the original 12, but here we are, and we say we're Christians like Christ. And he says this, when they see your love one to another, by this shall all men know that you're my disciple. Let me ask you this. Do people see your love? If they're going to see it, it has to be expressed. Let me give you a few points this morning, and this is our message. Express your love. Express your love. Number one, let me say this. We can express our love by what we say. John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Notice this. We can express our love by what we say. Look at John chapter 21 in the scriptures. Jesus talking to Peter. Beginning in verse 15. Pick it up in the middle of the verse. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Does Jesus know everything? He does know everything, doesn't he? And yet he says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus knew it. Peter knew it. And Jesus said this, if you love me, Peter, say it. He said, Lord, you know I love you. Verse 16, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Yes, Lord. He said, then say it. Lord, yea, Lord, thou knowest that, here's the words, I love thee. Verse 17, he does the same thing. Peter, you love me? Yes, Lord. Then tell me. He says, I love you. Church, listen to me. We can express our love by what we say. Can I tell you, we need to tell the people that we love them. You need to tell the people that you love them. Teenagers can be weird at times. Somebody thought that was funny. It was very natural in our home that Dad would always say to me, I love you. Just very natural. You may not have grown up in a home like that. And if you didn't, I'm sorry about that. And let me just say this. You're still breathing air. You can change that. And in our home, Dad would say, I love you. And I remember, for whatever strange reason, the one night Dad said to me, and I was a young teenager, he said, Mike, good night, I love you. I said, good night, Dad. If you know my dad, he said, I said, good night, Mike, I love you. And I'm like, oh, man. I said, you too, Dad. Comes in my room. Mike, I said, I love you. I said, Dad, I love you too. For whatever reason, it just got hard to say. It just got weird. It was inside, but expressing it, because I was whatever age, just became difficult for me. And Dad's like, Mike, we're not going there. That's not going to happen in our house. And it's fine and it's great. And I do love him and I love him to this day. Listen to me. Tell the people that you love them. And by the way, can I say this? You ought to tell them today. Tell them now. Tell them why you have them. Life is short. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. I guarantee there are people here that I don't even know that you love. And a lot of them have not heard it expressed in some time. And we have technology today. You could text them. You could write them a letter. You could email them. You could call them on the phone, whatever it might be. It could be a friend. It could be a pastor friend. It could be someone that influenced you when you were young. It could be a brother, a sister, a mom, or a dad. Listen to me. Jesus, what's the greatest? Love. If you don't love, you don't even know me. When they see your love, that means it's got to be expressed. We can express our love by what we say. I had a dear friend lost his wife on March the 24th. Brian Scully. Brian's a young man in his 40s. He has 8 children. His wife got cancer. They gave her 2 weeks to 2 months to live. She did live a year, and she went to heaven on March 24th. Can I tell you, Brian would do anything he could to be given an opportunity to look into his wife's eyes today and say, I love you. But he doesn't have that chance. I don't know who it is that you love. Express it. Tell them. Peter, you love me? Jesus knew it. Yeah, but I want to hear it by what we say. Number two, let me say this. We express our love by what we do. Matthew chapter 26. I'm just going to give you this scripture. You'll probably be familiar with it. If you're not, there's a story in the Bible, Matthew 26. Take it down if you're taking notes. Verses 6 to 13. Jesus was there, and a woman came to Jesus with an alabaster box of very precious ointment. It would be like perfumes today, and she had this box of ointment. And she brought it to Jesus, and we read this story in Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 to 13. And she broke this box and anointed the feet of Jesus. And there were some there that day and said, "Oh, why do you waste this?" Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She did it for my burial." And Jesus was moved by what this lady did for him. Number two, we can express our love by what we do. And this is what Jesus said. Forevermore, this story is going to be told for a memorial of her. I'm standing in Canada today. In 2014, never dreamed I would ever be here. And we're reading exactly what Jesus said would happen. Forever, what she did is going to be talked about. That lady had no idea on that day when she broke that box that we would be here 2,000 years later in Canada. She was in Israel, and here he is, and be talking about her expression of love. Let me say this. Doing things for people, not only doing things, but when you do things for people, it is a way that we can express love. And Jesus was moved by this. Moved by this, that she would take what she had and give to him. Church, let's do things for people. Do things for people. I understand you were cutting grass for people. You were being kind for people. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I grew up in a home where my dad, again, he was very vocal about his love, but he was also a very giving person. I think I told the pastor the other day, I remember one day a guest came in, a guest preacher came in, and he just brought a layman from his church. He walked into my dad's office, and there was a picture on the wall of the Trail of Tears. And this gentleman who came was a Native American, and I don't know what he was, Cherokee, or what his what group he was from. But he said, "Pastor, I like that picture." First time he ever met my dad, standing in his office before we would start our outdoor meeting, our tent meeting. My dad said, "That's wonderful." And he said, told him what he was. "I'm part Cherokee," or this or that. My dad walks over and takes the picture off the wall and begins to hand it to this man. He's like, "No, preacher, no. I didn't say that so you would give me." He's like, and if you know my dad, he said, "Just shut up and take it." That's the way Pastor Clark talked. Just shut up and take. And this guy doesn't even know my dad. First time he's ever met him. "I don't want to take." He's like, "Just take it. I want you to have it." A few years later, I went to preach at that pastor's church, and after the service, we went to this gentleman's house for dinner. Walked into the foyer of his house, and you know what's hanging in his foyer? That picture that was once in my dad's office. And I didn't say to him, "Where'd you get that?" And he said, his name is Randy. "I don't know. Can't remember where that one came from." That would never happen. You know why? Till that man dies, if someone asks him, "Where'd you get that?" He's going to say, "Some preacher I didn't even know in New Jersey. Hand took it off his wall and gave it to." Look at me. When we do things for people, it moves them. And Jesus sat there in this alabaster box. Listen, Jesus, he's God. And by the way, this gentleman that my dad gave that picture to, my dad had no idea. He's a very wealthy man. He could have bought 50 of those pictures. It's not about your wealth, what you have, or even what you need. It's about that someone would express their love to me by doing something for me. It could be a cup of coffee. It could be something small. It could be something big. I remember one time one of our staff guys came to church one day, and it was not a beater truck, and it was not a brand new truck, but a very nice truck was sitting there with a note on it for him, where someone in the church had bought him a vehicle. Can I tell you, forever there will be a bond there between that gentleman, Keith, and that lady and her family, Phyllis and Carl, who bought that truck for him. And I guarantee you, every day he goes out and gets in that truck, he is moved. And it's much more than a vehicle. It's an expression of love. Let me say thirdly, we can express our love, Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. And I've got to wrap up here in just a few minutes. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. The story of Mary and Martha. Remember that? Luke 10, 38 to 42. Martha was running around serving, wasn't she? Oh, she was busy. It came to pass as they went and entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also, notice what she was doing, sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha, oh, she was cumbered about with much serving. She was running all over the place, making sure everything was just right. And she said, Lord, talk to my sister. Tell her to help me out. And Jesus said, verse 41, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled. You're running about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Number three this morning, let me say this. We can show our love, express our love, by giving people time and attention. Jesus said, you know what? You're running around and you're busy, but she's taking time for me. Take time for the ones you love. Dads, listen to me. Take time for your children. Grandparents, take time for your children. Friends, take time for your friends. Spouse, take time for your husband, for your wife. Jesus said, this is awesome. Mary is taking time to sit at my feet, even though there's tons of things to be done. Remember one time I was listening to a Christmas special, and you may be familiar with him here in Canada, or I don't know, but Hank Williams Jr. Would that be a familiar name to you? Raise your hand if you've heard that. Yes? Hank Williams Jr. And they were interviewing all these country singers about their favorite Christmas. Oh, my favorite Christmas, I got a red bike. My favorite Christmas, I got my first guitar. They said, Hank, what's your favorite Christmas? I frankly was surprised they put it on the air. He said, I wasn't real fond of Christmas. So that's kind of a Scrooge mentality as I'm driving down the road. I wasn't real fond of Christmas. And this is what he said. He said, I always got the toys that everybody else wanted. Full-size pinball machines, go-karts. All the kids in my neighborhood, they wanted the stuff I got. He said this, but all I wanted was my dad. And my dad was always out on the road singing for other people. And I thought, man, you know what? That little boy just said, I just want some time. Just give me a little time and attention. The stuff's fine, but dad, I just want it. And that moved me. Listen to me, we're not here forever. We're not here forever. Some of us that keep saying, we got to get together. Guilty of that, I am. We got to get lunch or dinner sometime. We got to have you up. But we don't. Because we're running around. Listen to me, we can express our love by giving time and attention. Preacher could tell you so many times. People will live their life and say, I should have spent more time with, not the office, with my family, with my friends. You get one shot. Express your love by what you say, by what you do, by giving time and attention. We're not going to turn here, and I'm going to wrap this message up. Put this verse down, though. John 18:10. Your loyalty expresses love. This is the passage of Scripture where Jesus was in the garden getting ready to be killed, taken by the soldiers. You remember what Peter did? Peter cut off the servant's ear, the soldier's ear. You remember that? Malchus's ear. Here's Jesus, and he's in a tough spot. They're getting ready to take him. And Peter, though he denied the Lord, he loved God. He was just a man, and he fell, just like you and I are. But he really loved God. And amongst those Roman soldiers, Peter steps up when they're trying to take the one that he loved. And he chops off Malchus's ear. You remember Jesus put his ear back on and said, hey, not now. But can I tell you, as he was doing that, I guarantee you Jesus felt the love from Peter's loyalty. Thanks, Peter. Thanks for sticking up for me. We live in a very disloyal age. Sometimes wives will run their husbands down, husbands their wives. church members, their pastors, this, that, that. Listen, if we have problems, we go to that person and settle it the way God tells us. We're not living in a perfect world. We're not perfect people. We will have problems. But listen to me, disloyalty, when you find out someone that you thought was your friend has been disloyal, it hurts. And loyalty is a way to express our love. Showing affection is a way to express our love. I didn't give you that point, but I think, and we referenced it in Sunday school. Remember John, the disciple that leaned on Jesus' breast, didn't he? You say, what was he doing? He's giving Jesus a hug. And by showing affection, we can express our love. That's a great thing. Let me ask you this, church. How well do you do at expressing your love? Does the life you live shout to this world that you're a follower of Christ? Jesus said, by the way you love people, it'll tell them. He said it. It doesn't matter if you live in Canada, New Jersey, North Carolina. It's not a cultural thing. It's a Christian thing. And love that's just in our hearts and we walk around burdened or if I have friends today that I love and appreciate and I think about someone at lunch, Brother Bruce, I've mentioned him many times, and I appreciate Bruce Fry and he's my friend and he's going through a hard time and I have all these feelings towards Bruce inside of appreciation and love, it doesn't do him a lot of good unless I express it. Pick up that phone and say, thank you. Pastor was very kind this week. He shot an email to my parents, my dad, who's the pastor of our church, and thanked him. He thought it. But had Pastor Fury only thought, thank you, Pastor, for letting your family come, it wouldn't really have benefited my dad in New Jersey. But when he said, I'm going to express this, what's their email address, and hit the send button, someone on the other side opens it and says, I felt that. Thank you. It's an expressed love by what we say. There are people that need to hear it from you. By what we do, can I tell you this week, do some things for people. And next week. And turn it into your whole, we love Christmas. Why? It's more blessed to give than receive. Be a person. So we came back to our room last night. Pastor, someone in the church had made a dessert for us. Who's in our room. I don't know who did it. Someone expressed their love. Someone knew Mike has type 1 diabetes, can't eat sugar, made us sugar-free brownies the day before or 2 days before that. And that, as a dad, someone that'll love my son who can't have sugar, and it might be a small thing, and find a recipe, that's touching lives. I won't forget it. Little girl asked her mom earlier in the week, let's make cookies for the Clarks. We don't feel like we deserve it, but thank you. And I'm telling you, I've felt it while I'm here. And like Paul said to this church at Thessalonica, you're doing good. I guarantee you we could do better. Said of them, every one of them had charity. Every one of them. Mike, I'm just not the warm, fuzzy kind of guy. Okay, change. I know we have different personalities. It's just hard for me. I didn't grow up in a home. Break the cycle. Express your love. Write a note. I can't say it. Good, write a note and hold it up to the one you love. Whatever. Maybe you're here this morning. And we're done. And I went a few minutes over, Pastor, and I apologize for that. Maybe you're here this morning. Listen to me. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've not been born again. I believe this is on my heart. You can love, but you cannot understand love or love fully the way God intended until you have Jesus Christ. You're capable of love, and you're capable of receiving love, but it's much deeper when you have a personal relationship with Christ. The greatest expression of love ever took place on a cross 2,000 years ago. Oh, if God would have said in a book, I love you, Maybe we would believe it, maybe we wouldn't. But he said this, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. I will prove it on the cross. Listen to me, everyone sitting here, listen. God loved you enough to say, take that hand and drive a nail through it. Take this one. Take my feet. Greater love has no man than this. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he expressed it, he gave his only begotten son. And God says, I love you. I did this for you. Will you receive me? Maybe you're sitting here and you don't have Jesus in your heart. Coming to church does not make you a child of God. Accepting Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for you makes you a child of God. When expressions of love are rejected, it's tough at times. Did you ever see someone propose and the girl's like, no. And you're like, oh, that poor guy. That poor guy. Oh, I don't like that. Final story. We built a snowman. When I was in North Carolina, they didn't know what snowmen were. You folks surely do. Built a snowman. And the lady across the street from our house is an elderly lady. And after we had built the snowman with the kids, day off of school, you know, carrot in the nose, buttons here, put a hat on it, all that stuff. We said, let's go shovel the walks for Mrs. Noecker. She lived across the street. We went over and shoveled Mrs. Noecker's walk. And when we were done, she popped out. And she's up in her 80s. And dear lady, if you're in your 80s, you're young, all right? But Mrs. Noecker, she's like, thank you so much. And she gave us a can of cookies, you know. And I'm like, well, thank you, Mrs. Noecker. And then she's like, oh, look at your snowman. Yeah, we just built it with the kids. She, wait. She goes back in the house. She comes out with the scarf. And she says, here, this is for, and Kayla, my daughter, felt bad. She went in the house, she got a scarf and gave us a scarf, and the scarf is to go on the snowman. And she's like, no, Mrs. Noecker. And I looked at Kayla, I'm like, take the scarf, you know. And she wasn't trying to be unkind, but she just felt bad that she would go and take her scarf and give it to us. So we took it. We said, thank you so much. And as we're walking back, I'm like, Kayla, I'm not getting on you. You were just loving her and didn't want her to sacrifice and do that. I said, but that's her expression of love for us. So we went over and we put that scarf on the snowman. And until it melted, that dear lady looked across the street and could see how she had expressed her love to us. But to reject that from her and after she had gone in the house and gotten it, it would have just hurt her. You're here this morning and God says, I loved you enough to die for you. I want to come into your heart. You know what? Every day, people go, no. No. I know what you did on the cross. I don't want it. I don't want salvation. I don't want forgiveness. I don't want heaven. I'm good. Forget it. And that would have been like us saying to that dear lady, hey, take your scarf and keep it. Our snowman's fine. Be awful. Maybe you're sitting here today, listen to me, and you don't know Christ as Savior. Don't tell him no. The greatest expression of love ever was what he did on the cross for you. Say yes to Jesus. Just say thank you. Accept him in your heart. Know that he is your personal Savior and that heaven is your home. If you don't know that, I encourage you today, trust Jesus. Father, we love you. God, help us to express our love. Lord, you said the greatest commandment centers around love. And the world will know we're followers of Christ when they see. All that means it's been expressed, God. When they see, when they hear, when they can witness your love in our lives. Help us to express our love. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you would say, Brother Mike, I know Jesus expressed his love on the cross for me. He died for me, and I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I know that heaven is my home. Would you lift your hand this morning? You know you've accepted Jesus Christ. Wonderful. You may put your hands down. I don't know your name. I would never call on you, embarrass you. I'll just pray for you. Is there anybody here this morning who'd say, Mike, Jesus expressed his love for me on the cross. He died for me. I don't know that I'm saved, but would you pray for me that I would know Christ as my Savior? I'm thankful for what he did on the cross, and I need Jesus. Would you just lift your hand? Is there anybody here at all? And you'd say, that's me. I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. He's spoken to my heart about it, and I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I want to receive Jesus. Anybody at all, would you lift your hand? How many of you would say, Mike, I heard the message today. I want to be like Christ, and I want to do better at expressing love to other people. Would you lift your hand? Anybody all throughout the room? And my hand is up with yours. Father, bless now the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. If God has spoke to your heart, we know the Holy Spirit's been moving. Why don't you come down to this altar even now and spend some time with the Lord in prayer. Let's seal this commitment in our hearts today that we will do a better job at loving others. Would you come? If you say, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, we'll have somebody take a Bible and show what it means to have eternal life through Jesus Christ. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. Can we take some time and show you today? Let's have a church business meeting real fast. We can have church announcements, or we can have another song by the Clarks. Who votes on the Clarks? All right, that it's carried. All right. Would you folks come do one more for us? Okay. And then we'll close in prayer. Your announcements are in your bulletin. We'll see you at 5 o'clock for the picnic. Go ahead. Stand up and give it to us.
That is the children's. They're having a sack race and other fun games, and it's starting at 3:30. Okay, so all by the bosses up there on the grass. That's really only a real announcement. So 3:30 for all the young people, and Kylo Wiedrich and Jennifer Vanderbilt will be in charge of that. So at 3:30,
I think you mean by the bus lawn. So down below.
The officers here. Are you still with the bosses?
Buses.
We have in the field beside the park.
Over here. Okay, good enough. Right over here by where we're at. So we're in the field over here, all right? So 3:30, and then at 5 o'clock we eat. 6 o'clock is our service. Now, there is a chance of rain today. And so if you come and you don't see everything set up, you need to understand that you say, well, we had 3 hours of good weather and just 3 minutes of rain. 3 minutes of rain can destroy all the equipment. So we have no choice but to move in if that happens, all right? So please bear with us on that. But pray for a good day, and it'll be good whether it's in here or out there. It's going to be good anyway, all right?
Good. Praise the Lord. Well, we do have some CDs in the foyer, and I promise you we didn't come to Canada to sell you a CD. I mean that. If you don't have money for one and you want one, we'll give you one. If you say you guys cannot sing a lick and I wouldn't want your CD, I wouldn't blame you for that. I don't listen to them either. But no, if they would be a blessing to you, you know, lots of times in a big minute part of our ministry is we go on down the road and we don't live here, obviously, but put it on your computer, put it on your kid's iPod, put it on your iPod, however techy you are, in your car, CDs, if they could be a blessing to you. And by the way, can I say this? Whenever you hear our music, if you would pray for our family, I would appreciate it greatly, more than you ever know. I mean that. Pray for us. We're just trying to live for God the way you're trying to live for God. So you've been dear friends. It's been great. Here's an a cappella song. It's called Just a Little Talk with Jesus. Ready? Michael was real sick yesterday. Mike started throwing up at 4 a.m. on Saturday morning and finished last evening about 10 o'clock, but he's being a trooper, man. He's here. He's doing all right. He hasn't eaten since, what would that have been? Friday night. Yeah, so you hungry or no? No. You know how it goes when you're sick, but he'll remember Canada for sure. But here we go. Ready?
Well, all right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right. All right.
All right. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right.
Well, all right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right. All right. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right.
Well, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a light from heaven filled my soul. Oh, yes, well, it bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right. Well, all right.
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 All right. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right,
well, all right,
all right,
all right,
all right,
all right, all right,
all right, all right. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right, well, I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but my friend Jesus watches day and night. Oh, yes, well, I go to him in prayer, I can always find him there. And a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right,
well, all right,
all right,
all right,
all right,
all right,
all right, all right. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
All right,
well,
all right,
all right,
all right,
all right,
all right,
all right, all right. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right,
well,
all right,
all right,
all right,
all right,
all right. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right.
Well, all right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right. All right. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Let's stand and be dismissed with a word of prayer. Clarks, if you would go to your table right now, that'd be great. Make sure you stop by and encourage them this morning. They want to meet you. And Brother Kirkwood, would you stand and lead us in a word of prayer, please?
Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be here with us this morning. The messages that we've heard, that you bless this word, do us as we go. That you bless our afternoon. You guys are well, Lord. We have the music and the preaching of your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. We'll see you this afternoon.